And we're off. That's great. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Today's teaching is on hearing. Hearing. So in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28. Chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, this is asking Jesus now, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered them, the first commandment of all commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, it's interesting. Jesus Christ is referring to something when he says this. And we're going to take a look at that too. It's called the Shema. And we're going to look at that. Take your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy right in the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And a scribe, when it said the scribe, it meant someone who was very adept at the law. Very adept at the law. And the scribe is asking Jesus Christ, who is known as a rabbi. Most people, his inner circle, they knew him as the rabbi, the Rabboni. And they're asking him, what's the first and great commandment? If you look in Deuteronomy 6, did I say 6? Okay. Deuteronomy 6, we'll start at the very beginning. He's almost there. Next book after Numbers. He's good. You know what? And we'll wait because it's important that we see this with our own eyes. That's why I love having the Bible in front of us, where it's not just, oh, it's just Jim. And he's pulling this out of the air. No, it's the Word of God. And we can see it with our own eyes. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4. And this is what Jesus Christ was telling the scribe in answering the question, what's the first and great commandments? So in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy what? Children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now this is called in the Jewish community, we call this the Shema, the hearing. The hearing. You see, in the Hebrew language, the word for hear and the word for obey, one of the same. Because it's understood that when you hear God's word, that you would obey God's word. Remember what the question to Jesus was? What's the first and great commandment? And he says, hear, O Israel. Hear. And it's not just perceive the sounds, perceive the words, but perceive it to the point where you would obey it. And that is a Hebraic way of thinking. And in the Hebrew, the word obey and the word hear, it's the same word. Because we can, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 11. Just for kicks and giggles. Chapter 11. Is that India paper sticking today? Oh my. Chapter 11, and look at verse 27. It's talking about the law. I'll go to verse 26. That'll give you a running start. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. That's a blessing, right? Verse 28. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. Do you see the word obey? In verse 27. And do you see the word obey? In verse 28. It's Shema. It's the same word that we read. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The words are the same word. God's heart was his words would be heard and obeyed. And the blessing is if you obey it. Now is Old Testament law. Old Testament law. So hearing and obeying were inseparably connected according to God's heart for his people, for his children. Go back one book. Go back a couple books. Go back to Exodus, Genesis, Exodus. Show you another one, just because we can. Exodus 15. Exodus 15, and in verse, where is it? Yeah, verse 26. If you look at this verse, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord. That's Jehovah that healeth thee. Over and over in these sections, you see, I am the Lord thy God. The word Lord is all caps, L-O-R-D. That's in the King James, wherever you see that, L-O-R-D capitalized, it's Jehovah in the Hebrew. Jehovah. So I am Jehovah, your Elohim, great God. And in the Shema, the Jehovah, your Elohim, our great God, is one God. Hear, hear, O Israel. Hear it so that you know it, so that you do it. Right? So when we're looking at God's word being heard, not just the sounds, not just the words, but the heart of God that are in God's Word. Because it's very possible that you can hear the words of the Word of God and not hear the message. It's very possible that we can hear the words of the Word of God and not perceive the wisdom and knowledge that's being expressed. And one of the key things about not hearing the Word of God so that you hear the wisdom expressed and the knowledge expressed and the heart of God that He's expressing in His written Word and His spoken Word is reverence. We spent a lot of time looking at reverence a few weeks ago. Five Sundays we looked at reverence, different aspects of it. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. You can see verses where it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can see that in Proverbs. It's the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the awe of God is the beginning. And it really should read, is the principal part. If you get that, the fear of the Lord, then you've got most of it right there. If you have the fear of the Lord, the reverence and awe of God, then you've got most of the knowledge that you need, most of the wisdom you need. It's all built on that. So we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to look at a couple places where it talks about hearing God's word to the point of obeying. And we're also going to look at some places where we hear God's word, not to the point of where we obey. And it's pretty stark contrast, but the message is pretty wonderful. So Matthew, you're all there and I'm not. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Maybe you've heard this in children's fellowship or vacation Bible schools. Maybe you've read it hundreds of times. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. Now we have the contrast. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You know what sand does? It moves. Sand moves. The rock doesn't. And when you think about the words of God, they're sure, they're certain, they're true. They're not true in one time period and then true the next. They're true. God's words, when he says something, it's yea and it's amen. But then the foolish man, he's building it on sand. He's building his house. It's everything that he is. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the what? Scribes. Do you remember who was asking Jesus the question? What's the first and great commandment? It was the scribes. And here's Jesus Christ teaching the word with authority and not like those guys. And when they asked him, what's the first and greatest commandment? He's a master teacher. the Jewish people would say that saying every day, that pronouncement, that affirmation, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." They would say that every single day. And here they're asking the master, "Hey, have you ever heard, what's the first and great commandment?" And all the Jews would say that every single day of their lives. And they would teach their sons and their sons' sons that. That'd be like asking a master carpenter, you know, a hammer has two, on the head of the hammer has two sides. You know, the one side, you know, and the other side's got that curvy thing like that. Which side do you pull nails with? It would be ridiculous. It would be ridiculous, but that's what they, you know, because were they really wanting to know anything from Jesus Christ? They were just trying to trip him up, belittle him. What's the first and great commandment? I don't know. They were asking him that. But Jesus Christ, he's teaching this, and he's teaching this with this parable here. And he's teaching with authority, with that power, with that authority, with a God-given privilege. And he's teaching it, and the people are like, they were astonished. They weren't used to hearing teaching like that, because he taught with one as one with authority. The doctrine, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The point being, when he says, he wants to make this very clear, hearing the word and doing the word is safe, secure, and blessed. Hearing the word and not doing the word is a calamity. Just because we've heard something doesn't mean that we're safe and sure in it. What must we first do? Believe it, trust in it, but then act on it. Act on the Word of God to the point of we hear it, which in the Hebraic mind, hearing and obeying were one of the same. We hear it and we do it. Isn't that exciting? And Jesus Christ is just showing a great example of this. He's showing them this. Take your Bibles and go to the book of James, way in the New Testament. Book of Hebrews, then the book of James. And I'll give you time to get there. Yeah. If you get to concordance, you've gone too far. You got her. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We took a few weeks, was it last year, a couple years ago, and we went through this book of James. Not in super in-depth or anything, but boy, we saw that book of James is where the rubber meets the road in life. It's the real deal, practical deal with the Word of God. And James chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity," or abundance of naughtiness, or wickedness, basically, "and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Receive it, which is the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." If we look at this, deceiving your own selves. So if we are hearers only and not doers, then we are deceiving ourselves. Anybody in here good at deceiving yourselves? Yeah. we use all our logic and our reasoning and our rationalization and all that good stuff. We're deceiving our own souls when we hear the word and we don't do it. Being hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, and if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face, his God-given natural born face, in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. That mirror, that glass, is representing, as we look into the word, we get to know who we really are. We get to know the good, we get to know the bad, and we get to know the ugly. But it's the word of God that will truly give us a good critique about our lives. This man that only is a hearer and not a doer will look at the mirror, see himself, and then straightway, right away, forget what he saw. I want you to think, about when you look in the mirror. Anybody look in the mirror this morning? Did anyone look in the mirror this morning? Probably most of us. And it's like we're looking at it, it's like, and you're going, whew, when did you get old? No, you're right. You look in the mirror, and it's a good thing to do because you get to see what people are really going to see. I went to work one day, and it wasn't until my break at like 10:30 midway through the morning that I realized when I went to the bathroom, I'm washing my hands, and I'm looking at the mirror, and I got a big chunk of scrambled egg stuck in my beard. And no one said anything to me. And I didn't know it because I didn't, evidently, I was doing that, you know, throwing down some egg and running out the door trying to get to work on time. Can you imagine if I looked into the mirror and I got the chunk of egg there? You know, what's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing I did when I walked? I wash my hands, I look up, and I see that chunk of scrambled eggs in my beard. First thing I did is what? I got rid of it because I saw what I really looked like, so I did something about it, so I took the egg out of my beard. When we look in, as this example here, when you look into the mirror, you see what is really you. You see it. When you think about God's word, what's really you? A born-again one is righteous in Christ. A born-again one is set apart special from God. A born-again one is God's own child. We look at some of those things that we are because the Word says we are. But it also shows us what sin is, what wickedness is, what not being blessed is. If I looked in the mirror and I saw that egg in my beard and went, huh, and walked right back to class and started teaching, guess what would still been in my beard? Scrambled egg. Because I didn't do anything about it. I straightway forgot what I was looking at. Straightway. So going back to this, chapter 1, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, abides therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Blessed in his deed. You know, how do we know that we've truly heard the word of God? How do we know that we really heard the word of God? Well, when we keep it, when we dwell upon it, when we trust in God about it being true and blessed, when we live it when we do it, that's how we really know that we have heard, in the Hebrew way of thinking, heard the word of God. Let us not be like the man who built his house on the sand. Let us not be that way when we hear the word and then we don't do it, we don't live it. How many times have you ever had someone trying to explain something critical for you to know? I think about your job. When someone's yelling out vitals, you probably really want to listen to what they are, right? Because it's a matter of life and death. Someone's spouting off about, you know, how much this piping and that electric thing is going to cut. You don't just go, yeah. It's oil. Exactly. I think about this because if we care enough to listen to the point of living it, we'll be listening for real. I had a soccer coach who was my calculus teacher. His name was Mr. K. And Mr. K, towards the end of the year, most of the classes were having fun and playing and everything and having like the day off. It was like the last day or the next to the last day. And he's passing out a test. And I thought, we already took our finals. There's nothing more left to go. And he says, listen to me very carefully. I would like you to, you're going to be taking a test today. And it was all math questions. And it was like all the stuff we'd learned that year. And it was like going, oh my gosh, really? We have to take a test today? He goes, listen very carefully. I want you to read all of the questions first before you begin your test. Okay, you've got so many minutes. Begin. And we're all sitting there going, so me being me, I'm tearing into those questions. I know how to do this, and I'm working, and I'm calculating, and I've got the, back then, the slide rule. And I'm doing all this stuff, you know. And all of a sudden, I see one of my classmates go like this. Close the test, put his pencil down, and just smile. I'm thinking, what the deal? Can't possibly be done. I mean, I'm good at this stuff. What? And then I'm working away, and I'm on problem two, and then I'm on problem three, and I see classmates folding their arms, putting the pencil down, smiling. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And then I was like, what? Mr. K told us, read all of the questions before you start the test. And on the last question, it said, fold up your test paper, put your pencil down, and smile.
That's so, Mr. K.
There was a lot of people in that class, including myself. Was I hearing what he was saying? No. Because I've taken tests so many times. I know what to do. I'm just going to read each question as I go, right? When I'm working on it. What was his instruction? Read all the questions before you start the test. You may begin. And I think about many times in God's word, he gives us his instruction. He gives us his counsel. He gives us his wisdom. He gives us his knowledge. And we can listen like we mean it, like it's important, like it's God telling you this. Or we can haphazardly listen. Or we can not revere God enough to think, well, I know God's word says this, but I know that ... So the message for today is hearing God's word and obeying God's word should be one and the same when we are truly listening to God, when we're truly reverencing God. And when we hear God's word, it's important enough for us to obey because it's God Almighty saying it. Amen? Amen.